Thank you, Preston. Let us be seated. Amen. We are victorious. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He's the Lord. He changeth not. He's the Lord. He changeth not. Hallelujah. He's the Lord. He changeth not. He's the Lord. He changeth not. Hallelujah. He's the Lord. Jesus, you change it not. He's the Lord. He change it not. Hallelujah. He is the Lord. He never fails. Jesus is Lord. He changes not. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Is the Lord that does not change? Man may change. Woman may change. Family, friends, anybody can change, but the Lord does not change. At times, our circumstances make it look as if God has changed in his promises. At times, it looks that God's back is turned. But he said it, and we believe it, and we stand by it, that the Lord God does not change, he changeth not. And for this, we give him the glory. Say, I am thy am, I change not. Father, we thank you because this is true. Even in your word, you say that heaven and earth may pass away, but not one dot, one iota of this world shall fall to the ground. And for this we give you thanks. This morning, Lord, we approach the throne of grace, asking for mercy and grace. That you prove to us once again, Lord, in your mercy, that you are God that does not change. Unfailing, unchangeable God, receive all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Blessed. Put your hands together for the Lord, everybody. Amen. Hallelujah. So this morning we are going to speak on the same song we just sang. It says, I am that I am, I change not, part one. It will be a series, and that series will bring it out as God gives grace. I am that I am, I change not. Amen. Let us read from Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. And God said unto Moses, Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, 1-4. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. Everybody read with me, please. And God said unto Moses, what? I am that I am. And he said, thou shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. I am that I am. Let us also read from Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. 6, please. This is 14. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's read from 6. For I am the Lord. I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. I am the Lord. God is like any of us. Well, I wiped us out a long time ago. How many times have I been angry with people? I say, you just thank God that I'm not God. Amen. Because if I am, I will have done this and done that. But God, in his mercy, faithfulness, and goodness, he does not change. Amen. And lastly, let us read from Numbers chapter 23, verse 19. Numbers 23, verse 19. Numbers 23, verse 19. I know somebody is helping us out there on the board today that's not used to doing this, but God bless you anyway. Numbers 23:19. Read with me, everyone. God is not what? A man. It's not Emmanuel. That he should lie. Neither the son of man that he should repent. Had he said, and shall he not do it? Or had he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Blessed be the name of the Lord. So this is the wording we're going to use throughout the whole series as God gives grace, based on the seven redemptive names of God, as people call it, redemptive names of God. So the series will be coming in different formats based on this, the word we read this morning. And this redemptive name is that God is Jehovah Jireh. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It's also Jehovah Rapha, that is in the Hebrew tongue. Jehovah Tiskenu, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Shammah, Jehovah Sharon, Jehovah Nisi also. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. And the series will be taking some of this redemptive one, working on it with us to show us that God is the same. He does not change. Amen. Me and you can change, people can change, government of the world can change, but God remains the same. But as I said in our prayer, at times it becomes a tough call because circumstances makes it look as if God changed, but it does not change. Amen? So today we are going to take from one of these redemptive names, Jehovah Nisi, the Lord our banner, and in this we make God our defender and our also a helper in the time of need. Amen. God, our defender, and God, our avenger. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So Jehovah Nisi, the Lord, our banner. Banner in those days is a symbol of defense. It's a symbol of offense. It's a symbol of action. When they raise their banner, when they strike their banner, they raise the standard, it means war. It means they are going on attack, either offense or defense, whatever it is. They strike their banner. So when they say Jehovah Nisi, the Lord our banner, is telling us that God is our avenger and also God is our defender. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Now today, the wars we fight is not just physical, it's also spiritual. But today we are going to balance it in the way that is mostly what we go through in life. Every one of us here have been recipient of some of the things we're going to speak this morning about. Where you are attacked, Paul used the word, he said, we are troubled on every side, from every angle. The spiritual is attacking, the physical seems to be worse. And many a time the physical is from people or human beings or circumstances around you. And I want to say from beginning that the purpose of these attacks is to wear you down. The purpose for these attacks is to strip you of your strength, of your trust in the Lord. Some of these attacks is designed by the enemy and handed down to people around you to execute them. And unless you walk according to the word of the Lord, you may fall into trap. But then if you know how to handle some of this issue and hand it over to God, then you have already succeeded and destroyed the plan of the enemy. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Some of these are agents of the devil. They can be friends. They can be family. They can be people at work, your boss, people around you, who their life is already miserable. And they want to make your own life miserable. And if you are not careful, you succumb to their plans. But I want to bring out through the scripture that the Lord God himself is your Jehovah Nissi, the God that fights your battle. And when you learn to hand it over to God and let God fight your battle, then you are a winner. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Some of them goes to different levels to attack you and to pull you down. These are human beings. They go to their gods made of wood, silver, and gold, work of man's hand, that has no power in them. Mark my word. They have no power in them to either do good or bad to you. It all depends on how you handle the circumstances. It all depends on how you see it. I gave a testimony many years ago where a man of God that I respected a lot was telling me that a witch is troubling him forever and ever, and that it is causing him this problem. I said, why would God, a servant of the Lord, be giving this kind of prayer request to me that a witch is taking this kind of actions against them? Some of us here in America may say, oh, well, it doesn't matter. It is all in imagination. They are spiritual forces. We do not contend against just carnal and flesh. We also fight against spiritual things, and they are there. They are real. I personally don't give them any credence. I don't recognize them. But that does not mean that they not exist. I can give testimonies on that regard. So these agents will come with intention to wear you down. Some use different avenues. They gossip about you. They write things about you. They say things about you that will come and anchor on your soul if you are not careful. And before you know it, you start getting worn down because of their actions. Some of these agents the enemy has used or is using to attack Christians, to attack people of God, are nothing but liars. They are lying for their father, but they pretend to be for you or for around you, or even some of them pretend to be your friend. We contend against these spiritual and natural forces. They are adversary to our soul. Many of them are just miserable. They hate for sake of hating. Some hate you just because of the color of your skin, either white or black. Not saying it's only black, white or black. Some hate you because you choose to handle this life in a better way than them. Life is an equal opportunity program. He hand out the same thing to every one of us one time or the other. Pain, suffering, joy, victory, whatever it is. When he hands you victory, you rejoice. But some people also learn to rejoice in the midst of their trials. And for that, you are hated. For that, you are being looked down as somebody that is odd and, you know, somebody to be turned down because you choose to rejoice. You choose to throw sunshine no matter what may be facing you, no matter what you are facing in life. That can also bring hatred from these agents of the enemy. Some of them, as we said, are always out, looking out on a way to bring you down. In Psalm 69 verse 4, Psalm 69 verse 4, please, if you have that quickly. Psalm 69 verse 4, chapter 69. Verse 4. I'll read. They that hate me without what? Cause. This is David, a king of Israel, a child of God, a prophet, priest, and a king, triple crown anointed. He said, they that hate me, chapter 69, verse 4, not 12. You have 12. Thank you for helping us out today. Somebody is helping us with this thing that was not used to write. Okay, 69, 4. Read with me, everybody. They that hate me without a cause are more than the haze of my hair. Let's stop there. You don't really have to do anything to some people to hate you. You don't really have to. Just the fact that you are alive and they are seeing you is enough for them to hate you in some cases. 2 months ago, somebody, an American here, was doing things that is weird, two different scenarios. I just wanted to try it out because I really know where it is coming from. But I called a friend was there and said to this person, please, sir, just name one reason why you are doing this to me. He wouldn't shake my hand in the meeting. He wouldn't look me in the face in the meeting. But he goes behind the scene and does things that is evident. And I said, name one single reason, and I will apologize and make amendment. He couldn't figure it out. Just enemy put bitterness, bit anger, maybe jealousy. I don't know what he should jealous me about, but it is there. So he says here, they that hate me without a cause are more than the haze of my head. What will they do? They that will destroy me, being my enemies wrongfully, they have no case against you. They have no cause against you. They have no reason against you. But they would destroy you just for sake of being your enemies, and they are wrong in their actions. David said, they are mighty. Then I restored that which I took not away. I even make amendment, trying to seek for peace. For that I did not even owe. I didn't use. I didn't take from them. Do you think that will appease them? No. Until Christ come into their heart and change them, they will not change. But this morning I want to bring out avenues. God fighting for his people when the enemy comes in this form. God's avenue that God uses when you approach it in the right order, that Jehovah Nissi, the Lord your banner, the Lord that fights avenge on your behalf, the Lord that contend on your behalf, the Lord that take defense, offense on your behalf, fights for people of God. Because no matter what they plan to do, one thing I have always noticed at the end of the day, if you stay with the Lord, he will set a table before you in the presence of your enemies. It is sure and guaranteed. It is in his word. When they build or dig a pit for you to fall and sink into it, they themselves will fall into it, because that is God's way. Or when he fights the battle, he makes an end. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The gallows they build for you, they will also be hung from it. A man did not do any wrong. Mordecai is his name. He decided to do what God has asked him to do. According to his religious belief, he's not to bow to any man. But one man in that kingdom who happens to be high and elevated and thought himself mighty, when he goes around, he wants everybody, because he's the right-hand man of the king. People have to bow to him and kowtow to him everywhere he is. And Mordecai will not do that. He sits at the gate, maybe it's a gate man there or something, and he's driving by in his Rolls Royce or whatever, or walking by in his majestic parade, and everybody flattened, and he wouldn't. So what did he do? He decided that I will not just kill only Mordecai. I will not just only kill his family. I will not just kill his friends. I will kill the whole nation that is associated with one person, Mordecai. Because he's placed in a high position, he went out to accomplish this, approached the king and said, there are people in your kingdom. They are unruly and evil. And said evil things about the whole nation. Give me permission to wipe them out. The king said, there are people like that in my nation here. And he take his signet and give to him. Get all the soldiers you need. Get everybody you need. And wipe out scores and thousands of people because of what you call one offense. But the Bible said that when the enemy shall come like a flood, what? The Lord God will raise a standard. That is the promise of the word of God. Mind you, brethren, they will surely gather. That is assured. They will gather a place of work. They will gather even in the group where you are. They will gather in every avenue you find yourself. They will gather in the place you think you are secure, you have friends. They will come together with the purpose to tear you down. And at times, just pulling you down is not enough. They want to pull you down in your finances. They want to pull you down in your peace. They want to pull down in the emotional level. They want to pull you down in every aspect of your life. That's the enemy targeting you. But not by me, says the Lord. Amen. All that shall gather against you shall do what? Fall for your sake. Because of what? You are a heritage of the Most High God. Behold, he says here, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall do what? Fall for thy sake. If you go to 17, mind that you put it on the scripture, the next one. It says, the weapons, they have their weapon. Go to the next 17, please. Isaiah 57:17. They have their weapons. The weapons fashioned against you shall not what? Prosper. No weapon. Every weapon they have to pull you down, it says what? It is formed against you. And the word of God said, and they will not prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment, the Lord shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And before you start thinking it's because of my level of righteousness or not, no. And their righteousness is of me, says the Lord. Amen? Because you have run into God, that Jehovah needs you for refuge. He will fight your battle when you are sleeping and when you are awake. He will fight it when you are flying and when you are walking. No matter where you are, God is able and could and will fight your battle, but you have to trust in him. You have to believe in him. So Naaman thought he will make an end. He will destroy. He will pull down. He will destroy Mordecai's family, destroy his relations, destroy his lineage, destroy his country, destroy everyone. But when he was weaving and planning and doing this, God is saying, no weapon fashioned against Mordecai shall prosper. So God is working on both sides. He started working on the king. He started working on the niece. That happens to be the wife of the king. You know, at times there are certain things you do and you say, where is my reward? I have done that at times. There are certain good you do, you expect instant gratification, a reward to come out of it. But God at times saves those things for the day it counts most to bring it up on your behalf. So don't lose faith. Don't stop doing good. You might have done a lot of good and you are not seeing the result right away. There will be a day it will speak on your behalf. The king went to sleep but couldn't sleep. He kept tossing around. There is no TV in those days to watch. There's nothing to do. He said, okay, I can't sleep. Nothing can put me to sleep. Get me the book of the histories. Let me read. And why is the king reading the book of history? Because the Lord has set in motion to deliver Mordecai. And what happened is I started to read. And Mordecai has done a good deed for the king, saved his life, had people planning to kill and destroy the king, and he brought it to, reported it. You would have thought that somebody would have recognized him by now. You would have thought that somebody would have brought it to bear at this point. But nobody, after that, they called the people that did it, hanged those people. Nobody remembered him. And he asked his servant, what was done to this man who did this? When he read and read and got to that chapter of verse, maybe they just wrote it in one line. Nothing. Say nothing? Somebody who saved my life. Here comes the same enemy of Mordecai. I say the Lord will set a table for you in the presence of your enemies in Jesus' name. Haman, yes. What shall we do for a man the Lord, the king wants to show honor? Ah, really? Is there any other person in this kingdom that he will show honor other than me? It has to be me. You know what? Bring out your best car, sir. Bring out your best entourage, everything you have. Line it up on the street. Let this man run on it. Let the runner go before him and say, here is how the king honors the man he chooses to honor. That's a very good idea. You know what? There's a man called Mordecai. Call him, do the same exactly the way you said it and do it for Mordecai. My God. Who? Mordecai. His aide went, is that the same Mordecai? It can be. Yes, it is. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. I say the pit they dig for you, they will fall into it. Do not be afraid, brethren. The Lord has a way of coming through for the people of God. So there they went ahead and honored Mordecai. Funny thing, he went to his home, sad. Came and said to the wife, I have so many riches. I have so many things and my resources, money and so on, slaves born to me, whatever. And so, all this I will even give for the life of this man. But you know what happened today? Today I was forced, humiliated, to do him honor. And the wife said to him, who do you say that is? It's a Christian brother, Emmanuel. If you have started to fall before him, you are going to go down to the pit. Do you mean that my punishment have not ended? Say it's just starting. Because the Lord is he that fights your battle. When the enemy will kiss the ground, they will suck it up. But you have to walk in righteousness so that that can come to be. So this thing evolved. It's already set up your own plan and say, come, there's going to be a banquet for you. And in that occasion, he was sunk. Another command went forth, go and string him up. He said, he already built a gallows, 50 cubits high, very, very high, that he's going to hang Mordecai. He himself was hanged there. The household of Haman, everything he owns was given to Mordecai because the Lord is he that fights your battle. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Jehoshaphat was a king in Judah. Him and Judah was at rest. And suddenly out of nowhere news comes. You know, at times you wake up in the morning, everything was good, you sang praises and you went to a shower and you dress up and then you get that call or you get that email or something just pop up that becomes a major life-changing situation. And it says that Jehoshaphat and Judah had this evil news that three nations, three kingdoms, Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, is coming to make an end of the people of God. And the Bible says he feared. And that is the natural actions that prevail against our body until we get ourselves together by God's grace? Fear. But then he quickly recouped and saw the face of the Lord and saw God in prayer and fasting and whatever you have to do to stabilize your heart and start trusting God. And as he was doing this, the Lord started to reveal who he is on behalf of his children. One of the things they said there that touched me is, say, look, God, what I am facing now, what is happening now is such that it's overwhelming. There is no way we can contend or fight on our own strength against these masses that has gathered against us. But they did say something simple. Our eyes are upon thee. If you read it here, our God, will thou not judge them? For we have no might against this company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do. But our eyes are upon thee. There is just a time you have to separate yourself from that fear that the enemy brings in the dead of the night and start to make a mountain out of a molehill and start to paint worst picture than can ever be, worst case scenario, magnify it, and try your best by God's grace to move your eyes from those and look unto God as your sustenance. When God was introducing himself to Moses, he said, I am that I am, I change not. I am self-existing God, eternal in nature, immutable, unchanging God, covenant-keeping God. When you remember or try to remember these things and focus your attention on he who have promised to deliver or to save you, then your salvation and deliverance in that situation start to emerge. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. So what did God do? And what will God do for you? He caused an ambushment in the midst of enemies of Judah. And God will do the same for you in Jesus' mighty name. Something happened that is unique. Three went out to fight. Three mighty nations. Ammon and Moab decided, I don't know what happened, but God did something. And they wiped out, they started to fight against Mount Seir. Wiped them out. And then they turned against one another and killed them. And Israel came praising God. Israel came rejoicing. Judah came rejoicing, come praising God, and only to come and see them taking substances. He said that they carried such substances that for three whole days they were gathering together so many riches from the camp of the enemy who came to destroy them. Because the Lord told them, all you have to do is to stand. Stand and do what? See the salvation of God. Oh my God, to stand is very hard for us. To stand is very hard. To do nothing in the face. Don't misunderstand me. There are cases you may have to go to lawyer or go to court. There are cases you may have to call people to intervene. There are cases you may have to reach out by yourself to try to resolve this situation. And it's a separate situation. It doesn't stop you from in every action that God directed you to take. You should also in that action be able to stand and know that the salvation at the end of the day is from the Lord. He will make a way. The way he will make a way is up to him. He will guide you. So when we are saying that this happens and the enemy is gathering, the enemy come in diverse way to pull and destroy you, the Lord will give you wisdom on how to approach it. He may use people. He may use the court system. He may use your prayer. He may use intervention that is beyond human understanding to redeem and to deliver you. One way or the other, the Lord will deliver and he will surely do that in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Pharaoh thought he will make an end. They have let Israel go, but God had planned something. I'm giving us instances of God's deliverance. God able to contend with them that contend against you. God able to fight your battle in unique and special ways. God able to take it out of your hand and handle it. Then this for years, this Pharaoh has tortured Israel. But as I was reading this chapter, I noticed that the people they used to torture Israel seems to have escaped the military. The damage to the sea, the killing of the firstborn, the thundering and stuff, and so on and so forth. Mostly the military that they've used all these years, the soldiers that they use as weapon to kill Israel, to destroy Israel, to do all this evil against them, has remained mostly intact. God decided to draw that enemy out and put an end to them permanently. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. So when it seems like your case is solved, and you are rejoicing that your case is solved, and suddenly the case seems to rise up again, it is because God wants to make a permanent end to your favor. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I had people say, well, I thought this will go, and suddenly it will never go. God is weaving. God is planning. God is putting together to bring out a greater and better end to your cause. Watch, if you stand with the Lord, it will come to happen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The soldier that destroyed Israel, that killed them, that they used to do, they had escaped all this judgment because if you read through it, no, the soldiers are intact. Tattoos get punished. Worms and stuff came into Israel. So God drove them out to make a permanent end, and he says what? Pharaoh decided, okay, why did we leave them go? Gather all the armies, the chariot, the base of the horsemen, every one of them, the captains of the soldiers, so they came. And suddenly, Israel turned around and looked. My God, I thought we have escaped this world. Moses, yes, did you bring us here to come and die in the wilderness? Didn't we already leave these people? They're after us. He said, do what again? Stand and see the salvation of God. Because in your life, in my life, the Egyptian you see today, the trouble you see today, the trouble that seems to magnify and increase as the day goes on, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has been merciful to us, tomorrow or next tomorrow, at the appointed time, you shall see them no more. You will make a permanent end. The chapter on Egypt hasn't been closed. Israel wanted it to close only if we can escape. But God said no. They have to suffer for what they have done. They have to be brought to the ground. They have to fall into the same pit they dig for you. So what did God do? God will use supernatural means to fight for you if need be. He will use phenomena that is beyond man's understanding to go and do things for you if he decides to fight for you. And I know he wants to fight for you. You just have to believe him and stand and see God's salvation. So this army was coming to kill, to destroy, to make an end. He said that suddenly God did what? He put a crowd, a defensive crowd, between the camp of Israel and the Egyptians. While he's doing that, he went on offense and started to open the path that seems to have closed. That waymaker will make way for you even in time of trouble in Jesus' name. He started to part the Red Sea. He started to part it for the people of the Lord to come. The Red Sea become a wall of stone on both sides that a ransom of the Lord can pass through. And they started to go through, and they went through it to the other side, to a safe haven. And he rolled back the defense and pulled back the crowd. And these Egyptians followed them, because he already promised, with your eyes you will see them today. That trouble, that persecution, those people that rise against you, if the Lord choose, and I know, I believe he will, if you stand on the God, on the word of the Lord, you will see them today, and suddenly they are no more. A brother gave me a testimony last week of mighty people that came after him. He told me what he went through. He told me what he suffered. And then God, he said that God said to him, you see all these people that did this, every one of them will face their just reward. See, how can they? I have no might against them. But they did face their just reward. I'm not going to go into detail there. That's a testimony of another person. Because he put his faith on the Lord. His trust in the Lord. Judge that nation. Judge the military. Judge every one of them that they have used to destroy or to punish or to pillage and rape the people of God. In your mind, you say, okay, what I'm going through now, there seems like there's no escape from it. But there's always going to be a way of escape. Israel looked at that Red Sea and said, my God, this is a bad idea. That is sea before us. How are we going to cross it? Behind us is death. In front of us is death. Who would have thought that a wind will come up that will part the way? God will use great, mysterious, great, the limit, the power of God has no limit. We all believe that and know that. But one thing else I want you to know is that when God decides to fight for you, the power and the might of the enemy does not count. They cannot compare to what the Lord is able to do. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Lastly, we just use another example. Sambalat and Tobias and Nehemiah. When you are out to do things for God, for some of you who might wonder, why am I so involved in things of God and yet I'm being derided and being made a mockery? It looks like I'm losing out. I'm losing out on this level. I'm looking at that level and so on. The purpose of the enemy is always to do what? To distract you so that you can miss your blessings. They will use whatever means, and if they cannot find means, they use their actions, their word, whatever it is, just to pull you down. As I said in the beginning, God will fight your battle. But you have to walk in wisdom when you are dealing with these people. So Nehemiah was appointed to go and rebuild the walls of Jericho, Jerusalem, that was crumbling, that has been laid to ruins over decades. He came and surveyed this wall and looked at it, go from left to right, went about it and said, what a massive job. But the Lord God was with him, and when he called, Israel came in mass to help him build. But there were enemies around, and the same thing happened. Who are testing on your behalf? Who are calling on your behalf? Who are speaking against you? Oh, that business is started, it will not go nowhere. Oh, that marriage you just got into, there's no point in it. There's no survival. Oh, that thing they are seeking, who... I don't see it possibly happening. And this thing filters back to you. The purpose is for you to give up believing. The purpose is for you to give up trusting God. The purpose is to take you, to weary you, to wear you out. It is not only the devil that tries to wear down the saints of God. There are also human agents that their job is to wear you down, that will talk against you, that will put you down, that will deride you, that will laugh at you, that will say you are not going anywhere. You can never make it, Emmanuel. By God, I can name so many like that. I say, come and see what the Lord has done. at the end of the day. They started laughing at him and say, oh, even the wall you are building, if a little dog or fox or whatever climb on it, it will fall. This is what they have put their effort to do, and they were cheering themselves, oh my God, we are doing a great job. And suddenly the enemy come and started laughing. Look at them. Look at what they are doing. That's enough to demoralize those. But do you know what he said that this man did? He said he didn't mind them. He didn't talk to them. He came up with another plan. You know what? They might decide to attack us. Let us build the wall. We will not stop building. But now we are going to build with our sword in one hand and our things you use for building in another hand. In other words, they are prepared for battle and they will continue building. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You cannot allow the enemy to stop what you are pursuing. You cannot allow the enemy to take away what your focus is on to get a miracle from the Lord. You cannot allow the enemy to say it cannot happen because the enemy has no power in them to do good or to do evil. It is you who gives them power. Your faith, your action can either promote or make them of no avail. So when people are laughing at you in the things you seek to do for God, stand firm, brethren. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner, it is he that fights your battle. And he said, let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. The arm of the Lord is not frail, it is strong. God is able to deliver and to save. Do not allow the work of the enemy to discourage you to quit. Some have given up on this race because of discouragement. The enemy buffet, bombard, trouble, left, right, front, and back. It seems unending. And then people around you are also throwing everything at you, passing off false rumors, passing off false information, saying things that are not true, and everybody seems to believe with them. You look to the left or right, okay, look like everybody is looking at you and shaking their head. And if you are not careful, you'll start buying it. You'll start believing certain things that, oh, maybe the Lord has forsaken me. The Lord will never forsake you or leave you in Jesus' name. He said, I will never leave you, neither will I ever forsake you. He will always be your defense. He will always be there for you. Let's stand on our feet. When it seems like there is no hope, you learn to trust in the Lord. Be strong and know that I am the Lord. Amen? And be still also and know that he is the Lord. Don't avenge yourself, brethren. Look at Jesus Christ, the example that we have. Who went about doing good? What report did we hear? They castigized him. They laughed at him. They even crucified him. They didn't say he was doing good. At times, say, all I have done for these people. All I have done for these people, I tried, and still, what did I get from them? Mockery, insult, rebuke, and so on and so forth. Put your faith in the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Do not look at the arms of the flesh. It is the Lord that will avenge and fight on your behalf. Christ is there for you in every situation. Put your eyes on the Lord. Blessed be the name of 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 the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now let us pray. If you are watching us this morning, maybe you are seeing us or later we see us. I say this message pertains to me. I've been facing a lot of situation from people. Maybe it is at place of your work. Maybe it is friends who have turned enemies. Maybe it is people you have even reached out to help, and they returned you evil for good. And your faith may be shaken. I'm calling on you today to look unto Jesus Christ. The first thing we have to do in every situation is to put our faith on God's word, not on any other thing. And if you are listening and you have not accepted Jesus Christ, I call on you to come and accept him, that it may be well with your soul. Some of us are suffering for things we actually did and deserve the suffering, but the grace of God is still there. Because the enemy that seeks to make an end, the Lord will not allow it, because God is merciful. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Our contention is not just with the physical, it's also with the spiritual. When Daniel made all the effort he could, but the enemy was standing at hand to delay an answer from the Lord, God in his mercy sent the bulldozer of heaven, Michael, to come and move that prince of Persia out of the way. The Lord will move yours out of the way in Jesus' name. So that prayer, that request, that call, that cry you have made for maybe weeks and months and for years, let it come true now in Jesus' mighty name. Because the great fighter himself, the Lord God of hosts, is he that fights your battle. And he will avenge everyone, everything that are risen against you, because that is the word of the Lord. Do not take vengeance in your own hand. Throw it into God's hand and let him do his deed. The way he wants it, when he wants it. All you have to do is to stand and see the salvation of God. Father, we thank you. We bless your people this morning. Is there any under a heavy burden? Burden from people, burden from circumstances, burden from the enemy in any form or manner that has weighed them down. And the enemy seek to take over, to wear them and to destroy. Lord, we ask that you intervene on their behalf in Jesus' mighty name. Let God arise, as we said before, and let his enemies be scattered in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord.